Chapter 13, I appreciate a few visitors here. Good to see Brother Snyder, always my friend. I thank them for coming and being here with us when they can. And they weren't having service tonight, and they come on over. I thank God for that. And then good to have the Moores with us. We appreciate y'all being here. And again, they had a baptismal service afternoon, had afternoon service, and I wrapped it up for the day, and it's good to have them here with us. And I've done preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night on this thought. And so if you weren't here, let's just say you're behind. And I'll try to kind of get you up to date on at least what's been said. I can't preach it again, but I think I'm going to wrap it up. I don't think I got much. But I said that on day one, and a 30-minute message turned into a four-part series. So you just pray, and I pray you get some help. I believe this. I believe that I'm convinced of this, Brother Roy. Our church is getting help from this message. You know, when God gives you one, that's just the ones, I mean, it'll help you. Amen. Like this morning, Miss Toy got help. Here's the thing. If I can help one person each service, I feel like my ministry is successful. And I appreciate that Sister Toy got some help. Many of you enjoyed the message this morning. It was good and it was exciting. It was encouraging. But it's rare that you can preach a message that's so dynamic like this that's actually helped every individual person of the church. And I'm thankful that God's given it to us. And we're going to preach it, close it up tonight, I think. And unless God blows out on some subpoint somewhere, and we have to go back into it next week, but I think this is going to be it. If you found the text, Romans chapter 13, verse number 11, would you stand with me, please, in the reverence of the reading of the Word of God? Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. By now, some of you can already quote this verse, I imagine. But let's read it tonight, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Brother Snyder, if you would pray for us tonight.
Father, we thank you so very much. Your blessings on us.
Yes. Oh, God, would you come now, Lord,
and
breathe on us and help us.
God, I pray you'll knock the preacher from on high. I pray you'll give exactly what we need. I pray, God, you've been a blessing to us. And God, I pray you'll help us get something out of it, Lord, that'll help us in our Christian lives. But God, most of all, I pray you'd help us all to be better soul winners. God, help us to be all better Christians. God, help us to be faithful in that you called us to.
Yes, God.
Are you still blessed to have your will, your way in the service? God, there's no doubt there's
a possibility
there could be somebody here tonight that's lost.
Oh, God, if there's a lost one,
say. God, I pray you'll save them, Father, before too late. I pray now you'll bless the message. God, have your will your way. Do that that you'd have to be done. I pray you'll accomplish what you'd have to accomplish. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You be seated. I guess you've heard the saying, and they let the cat out of the bag. I'll just go ahead and let my possum out of the bag. Amen. Amen. Verse number 11, the Bible said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Sleep here is not a place of napping or turning in and pilling your head at night. Sleep is not here, as the analogy used oftentimes, in the New Testament of something that is dead. But yet it gives reference to a little both, something that appears to be asleep or something that appears to be dead, but yet is very much alive. The remainder of the verse, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It makes it clear that Paul is admonishing and writing to the church. He's not speaking to lost people about their salvation, but however, he's speaking of how now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. I want to say here, it says if he's saying that the church, and he is saying that the church has somehow fallen off to sleep. And I told you a few weeks ago, I saw this commercial, this possum laying there, and these two youngins standing over it and staring at that possum and saying, "Daddy, I think it's done." Daddy said, "We're just going to say, no, he's all right. He'll be all right in a minute." And I begin to watch him. His eyes are bugged out. His mouth is open. His tongue's hanging out of his mouth. So lava's dripping from his face. And I'm thinking, that thing might really be dead. I mean, I was convinced that it's dead. What I found out in that commercial is that possum was just going through the act of playing possum. He wasn't dead. He wasn't asleep. But he's in a state that seemed to be dead, but yet he was really alive. We begin preaching on that thought on playing possum. I believe what I'm reading, what Paul said in this 11th verse here, is that the church is in a state of playing possum. This act of playing possum, and I'm just going to highlight some things to catch you up. You'll like to hear it again, even if you've already heard it. This act of playing possum starts with the fear of the animal. He's just afraid. Amen. We looked at that and told and related to the fact that as God's children, as the church living God, we don't have to be afraid of everything. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. We made special notation that people are scared of the devil, and there's no Bible verse anywhere that says a church ought to be scared of Satan. In fact, it completely begs to differ the opposite of that. We ought to withstand the wiles of the devil. We ought to be sober and be vigilant. For our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We ought to be aware or sober. We ought to be vigilant, all ready to face and fight. Not afraid. But the act of playing possum begins with the fear of the animal. And then it goes on to the faint, the flying to, from the adversary. It just it's scared of it, so it runs. And it's too slow. Y'all with me? It's too slow. It can't keep up. And then from there it goes to the fainting of the adult. We said the first move was a move that it made on its own. Brother Moore, it can lay over on its side with no problem. He can do that on its own. It's fine laying down. Whoop. But from here there is a state that's involuntary. As it lays over and makes that first step of laying down, then something takes over. It doesn't pretend to play dead. That's not what happens. Please understand. This is a state that it does not have any control over. Again, its eyes bug out, its mouth opens, its tongue drooms, its saliva falls from its mouth. Its heart begins to beat very softly. Its blood temperature decreases, and it gives off aroma of something that's diseased, decayed, or dead. It had nothing to do with it. Just like the church at first, those that begin to get afraid of something or take a flight from the adversary, at first they just lay down a little bit. Oh, but as they're laying there, it's like, Brother Roy, something takes over. It's like they lose control of what's going on. And they go into a state where they're plain possums. It's a sleep that's deep. We may note that it lasts anywhere from 45 minutes to 4 hours, even after its adversary or foe is gone. Don't just pop up when it's over. Amen. You can try to run and try to get away from whatever God is trying to do in your life. You can try to lay down on it and then play it dead a little while and act like you're dead instead of you're alive. But when the fear's gone, it's hard to get up after you've been laying there a while. Amen. That smell, that's a smell of death. Boy, ain't it somehow when a Christian lays down, amen, and begins to give off that aroma and that smell of death. Amen. And it's alive, but a church sometimes gives off a scent or an odor, a scent of something that's dead when it ought to smell like the blossom of the rose of Sharon. Amen. I made note that this was a fainting of the adult. For see, the young ones don't do it. You with me? Remember when you was a young Christian? Amen. The preacher would skin your hide and all you'd do is shout. Amen. You wouldn't get mad. You wouldn't blow up. You wouldn't lay over. You wouldn't play dead. You'd just say, preach on, man of God. Amen. Remember when you was a young, the young ones, instead of laying over, they hiss and they growl. That hiss is a type of the singing. That growl is a type of the shouting. And they just get involved instead of laying down and shadow playing possum. It's a sleep that relates to death's likeness. It's called the kinsman of death. It's a sleep that relates to darkness that lingers. In verse number 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Boy, ain't it somehow when we are asleep at night and we got to get up in the morning. You ever said this? Boy, I really don't want to get up in the morning and go to work. Amen. That's the relationship of sleep to dreaded labor. We lay down and we're tired and we already know, man, I'm not going to want to get up and do this again tomorrow. I'd just soon stay in the bed all day and pretend like it's night even though the sun's come up. Can I get a witness? Amen. Ain't got time to talk a lot about it, but we said they're marsupials. The only marsupial in North America, on this old continent over here. And that means they carry their young in their pouch. Amen. They have kids that as soon as they're born, they begin, Brother Brian, to sniff and smell out for the milk. Woo! Amen. Then when you got saved, and all you want to do is find the sincere milk of the Word. Boy, you knew where to go for it. Nobody had to tell you when you was young you're supposed to go to church. Man, I got saved. When I got saved, I wasn't at church. Bless God, I wasn't at the house of God, but I knew when I got saved I needed to go. Preacher never had to come looking for me. Never had to wonder where I was at on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen, I desired the Word of God. Amen, we said that. While they are so many of them, they give birth to as many as 9 to 16 youngins, and there's not enough place, enough milk, and a lot of times many of them die in their infancy. Boy, and how many miss out because they never get a hold of the milk? What about that? Amen. Let me say this, and I'm hurrying, trying to get the message. While we are commanded to be sober and be vigilant, be ready to fight the devil, possum has a natural anti-venom about itself. If a serpent, if a rattlesnake, or a cottonmouth, or these venomous type snakes, Miss Linda, wants to grab a hold of it and sink its deadly venom into it, can't hurt it. Amen. Aren't you glad when the serpent, the devil, amen, snaps his teeth into us? His bite no longer has any power. Amen. For Calvary, we conquered death, hell, and the devil, and the grave, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We see Satan's head bruised as he tries to lay that venomous bite into us. Amen. We begin preaching three things. I give you the first thing we talked about. What happens when the church is playing possum? Number one is there's the insensitivity of salvation. There was a time when you just shouted just because you're saved. Nobody had to cheer you on. Nobody had to egg you on. Nobody had to pump it. Nobody had to prod it. But bless God, God took up residence in your life. And being passed from death unto life, that was reason enough alone to be happy about what God had done in your life. Amen. But somewhere along the way, they laid over. And due to the insensitivity of the church, as we looked at that church at Ephesus over in Revelation 2, has left their first love. Can't tell you everything I said on that. And then due to the insensitivity of the church, has lukewarm, foolish lifestyles as the church of Laodicea. And then Ephesians chapter number 4 gave us, due to the insensitivity of the church, has lascivious, fulfilled lust. It talks about the Gentiles who had become past feeling. They were desensitized. Their feelings had become numb. You walk up to a possum in this state of playing possum, and you can gouge him. You can poke him. You can throw him around. You can smack him. You can scream in his ear. But he don't feel it. And he don't hear you. He is alive. But he acts just like somebody that's dead. Amen. Ain't that where the church is? Their feelings have been desensitized. Preacher says, wake up! Preacher says, come on, buddy. Get back up. Let's go for God. And they just lay there. Tongues laid out. Eyes bugged down. Saliva come down their mouth. They're alive, but they look dead. They're playing possum. They're desensitized. They have lost, or they have the insensitivity of salvation. They've lost it. Then we looked secondly on Wednesday night. We looked at the ignorance of the situation. The situation, verse 11, knowing the time. Now it is high time. It is talking about the time or the situation at hand. And the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's talking about the saving or the pulling out of the church. Amen. Or let me say it like this, the coming of the Lord soon. Amen. They've lost that place. They've got ignorant to the fact that Christ really is coming back. The scoffers mock and make fun of them, saying, oh, them narrow-minded Christians, they got an invisible person they talk to, and they really believe he's going to come back and get them. Well, good news, church, he is. But as long as we lay around like that, sometimes we ourselves fail to be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. We talked about the closeness of life spent. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. We talked about the closeness of life spent. Even our life is coming to, if God tarries and doesn't come back tomorrow, our life could be over tonight. Life is closing on us. And then the capabilities of lustful sin seen in verse 13 and 14, how that you can, were to not make provision for the flesh. Amen. I'm hurrying. Let's give you point three. I'm going to preach this minute. All that was talking. Amen. Number three. We've seen the insensitivity of salvation while we're playing possum. We've seen the ignorance of the situation. He has no idea what's going on. He has no idea. He's sitting on our church pews. He's got a King James Bible. He might be the chairman of the Board of Deacons. But he don't have any idea what's going on. He's ignorant to the situation. He's insensitive to salvation. He used to be happy just knowing he's saved. Amen. I'm saying he used to shout the house down. He used to wave his hand. He used to go back to the place and time and stand up and say, I just want to thank the good Lord above for saving my soul, for reaching down in the muck and the mire and pulling my hell-bound soul out of the pits of the walls of the charred damned. I'm so glad I'm saved. Somewhere he just don't feel it anymore. And that leads me to number 3. Verse number 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I'm seeing in this state of playing possum that there is an inaccuracy of the signing. God's intention was for us to be light to a lost and dying world. Wherefore He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. Wherefore let your light so shine before men that they may see your every good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And put on the armor of light. God's anticipation when He saved you from darkness, when He saved you from death, and when He saved you from disease, and gave you life and life more abundantly, it's not that you lay there like something that's dying and something that's dark, but something that is alive and shining inside a dark world. Amen. Let me say this. Problem is, we're comfortable asleep. I just popped my back on that one. You with me? I meant to. It's all right. I do it every morning when I get up. Sit there and I go back and then forward and then left and then right. But if I just lay there, I'm okay. A little slow getting up. But it's right comfortable laying there. Amen. I don't know why the church won't get up. Because it's comfortable laying there. Right there. It's as if, hey, while I'm being ignorant of everything that's going on, that's almost like there's nothing bad going on. It's as if there's not a care in the world. As long as I can stay asleep, I don't have to worry about the devil. As long as I stay asleep, I don't have to worry about tithing. As long as I stay asleep, it don't matter if I go to church or don't go. As long as I stay asleep, I don't care what the preacher says, what the preacher preaches about, what the songs they're singing is. It doesn't make a difference in the world. As long as I'm asleep, I don't care what's going on. He's absolutely, amen, in this state of playing possum. The church is comfortable asleep. Let me say some things about this. He's asleep because he's weary. He got tired. Amen. You ever get tired? I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of tired today. Amen. Had 3 funerals in 5 weeks. Along with vacation Bible school, camp meeting. Amen. Drove probably 8,000 miles. I'm a little bit tired in the last 5 weeks. I'm a little bit weary. Sometimes I get a little bit run down. Everybody, you know what's easy to do when you get run down? Quit on what's got to be done next. It's taking your eyes off what you want to do next. And it's seeing you climb up underneath a bushel somewhere. And you cover out and smother up all the light. And I don't know about y'all, but I can't sleep when it's daylight. Amen. If I'm pulling in at 5:30 or 6, bless God, let me get my head down quick. I got to go down like a shot deer, because if the sun comes up, friend, I'm not even going to bed. But as soon as I lay her down, that old sun comes glistening inside the bathroom window. And I said, I'm thinking, what in the name of God's going on in the bathroom? I'm waking up, for the day is at hand. Father, if somehow I could drive out that light that comes in through the bathroom. Let me keep that bathroom door closed. It's a good while before it comes over on the other side of the house. Y'all getting this? I'm telling you, while you're laying around and you're smothering out the light, what you're doing is laying around in darkness. And it's comfortable there in the dark when you sleep. You get comfortable being around the things of the world. How'd you get that way, man? I just got tired. I got so tired I couldn't go again. I got so tired I didn't want to get up. I got so tired I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't want to give out another tract. Ain't nobody coming anyhow. I didn't want to preach another message. I didn't want to sing another song. I didn't want to study my Bible. I didn't want to pray. All I want to do was crawl up in the bed and sleep, because I'm tired of everything. And all the world, all you're doing is playing possum. You're alive, not dead. Comfortable sleep caused the weary. Amen. No doubt about it. They're comfortable asleep because they're worried. Find that those that become depressed, Brother Jason, had to just try to sleep it off. Going to hibernation. There's some that battle what's called seasonal depression. They, as soon as the leaves are colorful, boy, there's like a little fresh cheer. A little wetness from the dew, and all the earth's getting watered again. There's a little bit of happiness in the change from the green to the yellow to the orange and to the red. Makes me nervous. I know what's getting ready to happen. Makes me want to pack up and head to Florida for about 3 months. Amen. Amen, bro. Amen. It was just a 2 or 3 week span there. It's almost like they're shining again. It's almost like there's a glow. Oh, but then it happens. They turn brown and they turn loose. And everything begins to die. And the sky gets just kind of gray. All they want to do is climb up in the bed, sleep, because it's like it's night all the time. It's like the sun's never shining. It's like there's no light to light on them. Oh, can I say that we ought to magnify the light that Christ has shined on us? We're to magnify the light that God's Son, the light of the world, has shined in us. And we take that same light and illuminate it to a lost world. Oh, but it's in those times when it's dark outside and we can't see the sun. Sometimes it gets dark inside of us and we just don't see the Son of God like we used to. And it's then and only then, Father, we get to a place we just want to climb in the bed and cover up and just grow weary and just worry about everything. But if I can just sleep it off, it'll all go away. I just don't get out of the bed, won't have to deal with. How many wounded possums and church members have you seen? They started out just laying over because they was tired. Oh, and when they was laying there, they was worried about everything. Then they got desensitized and lost their feeling. And even if they wanted to get up, they couldn't. Even if they wanted to on the deuce lay there. Let me say this. They sleep because they've been working. They've been working. Cast off the works of darkness. It takes work to cast off works. We're not saved by our works. Let us, verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting. Well, that would be something new. An independent, premillennial, fundamental Baptist church, not in rioting. And drunkenness. Don't he kind of look like a drunk that just had too much? Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envy. It's going to take some work. You know what? It's a whole lot easier just to say, I like it here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm comfortable right now. And I believe I'll just sleep on. But I might call preacher and say, I'm going to get back in there when I'm ready.
Yeah,
what they're saying is, let me sleep past 12 today.
Yeah.
What they're saying, Brother Brian, is today I just want to sleep till I'm done.
Right.
Jeffrey taught me that. He said,
hey,
just don't wake me up tomorrow. Just let me sleep till I'm done.
Amen. That's right. Well, I like it.
Thought, well, that's when I get up. When I'm done, just his done comes a little bit later than mine. Somebody say amen. You know. Brother Jason, you better not laugh too hard, son. Amen. Sleep. Well, man, they just work so hard. I just can't even get over this one. I'm sore.
Amen.
Pretty sure Paul admonished that church of Galatia, let us not grow weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I made it clear Wednesday night, this same act here is the same act as if a person has fainted. They had no control over it. They can't wake themselves up. It's when their body's over it that they'll come out of it. I'm just wondering, I'm afraid that we've played possum so long, how in the name of God is the church going to get out of it?
Amen.
We're having this problem with the inaccuracy of the shouting. We're not shouting like we should because we're comfortable asleep. Let me say this. Because we're content being awkward. Is that not about the most awkward looking creature you ever seen in your life?
Yes,
you take a rat and a raccoon. I don't know, maybe a koala bear. Put him in a bag and shake him up. Now it pops a possum. He's funny looking, ain't he? He's awkward. Lord God, his name's even awkward.
Yeah.
How you spell possum? Some say it's P-O-S-S-U-M. Some say it's O-P-O-S-S-U-M. And I looked them up and they're both right. That's awkward to me. It's a opossum or possum. They said old John Smith up there, that first established son of Jamestown, Virginia, he seen one and he said, oh, possum.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got that from or if it's true, but hey, somewhere the O had to come from, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, possum. It's awkward. Can I say we're content being awkward?
Yeah, amen.
We've got down the fundamentals. We look funny to everybody else.
Yeah.
Head back! Some of you teenagers in public school. By the way, if you are completely against public school, you're anti-biblical. I homeschool Jeffrey, but I'm not homeschool only. I'm not Christian school only. Listen to me. Public school, we're to be a light in the world. You know what happened to the church right now? You know why the biggest reason we're playing ball is because we took the children out of. We took the light, the children light, out of the children that weren't light, the children that were in darkness. And there's no light shining in the church, in the schoolhouses anymore. You don't have to like that. I mean, again, I homeschooled Jeffrey, so, and I sent him to Christian school, but they just let me, when I go preach meetings, he could go anytime he wanted to. That just worked out better for me. But you public school kids, they look at you and they think you're awkward.
Yeah.
Man, what's your mama make you wear that all the time?
Yeah.
Boy, it must be hard with all them rules.
Yeah.
And we get so content with it, we forget why we're doing it.
Yeah. Amen, that's right.
We start to say, well, yeah, my mama makes me. My preacher's crazy. He's kind of different. It always becomes, at the end of the day, it's always my fault. Preacher, yeah, he's crazy. He's got all these rules and he preaches on it. One time we was happy being awkward. We are a peculiar people. Chosen generation. Royal priesthood. Now all of a sudden being awkward is not all that. We're all that content with it. We're kind of contemptuous about it. We do it just so we start doing it out of redundancy. We do it, bless God, because now we can say, Mama, man. When we was a young one, we didn't care. When we become a teenager, then it's mama's fault. It's daddy's fault. It's the preacher's fault. It's our beliefs' fault. You know what happens to most youngins like that? When they get about 18, 19 years old and they leave home, I tell you what happens. You won't find them around the house of God. They'll drop all their standards. What they've done, they fall asleep. I'm not saying they're not saved. They lay down and play possum because they got content and contemptuous with what God had made them and done in their lives. They're asleep. They're playing possum. You grow angry and say, I ain't doing that. Amen. They started out content with it. Now they're mad about it. They're rebellious about it. It shows not only in their clothing, but in their anecdotes and the way they behave themselves. Their conversation's not that becometh holiness.
Amen.
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 What happened to him, preacher? Playing possum. Their inaccuracy of the shining, the seen, and the fact that they're comfortable being asleep. That they're content and then contemptuous being awkward. And then the last thing I want to say, verse 11, that knowing the time that is now high time to awake out of sleep. Listen to me. We are charged to be awake.
Amen.
Preacher's saying, possum, wake up. Wake up. Hey, I know you wanted to sleep till you got up on your own. Can't you tell you're never going to get up on your own?
Amen.
Something bigger than you put you there, and it's going to take something bigger than that to get you up. You're going to have to remember that you're saved. You're going to have to remember that Jesus is coming back. You're going to have to get up yourself and realize you are going to die. And your family's going to die. And you're going to have to quit sinning again and get back to God. You've got to wake up. Daddy's flipping burgers. There he goes. How you going to get some help? You're going to have to get around God's people. I'm going to tell you what, you can't hang out with a bunch of people that's playing possum either. But Brian, you can't go no dead church, neighbor. You'd be playing possum. But if you get around the right kind, all of a sudden business picks up again. There'll be a man of God whispering in your ear. No longer are you hearing the voices of a man, but you're hearing the voice of God. He's saying, get up. Now, when the voice of man says, get up, you lay there. When he pokes you, when he prods you, when he throws you, he catches you. But he just can't get you up. Oh, but when he speaks for God. And he said, hey, it's now time. In fact, it's high time. You wake out of your sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when you believe. It's better now than it's ever been. I know you think it's bad. I know you feel down. But I want you to know if you'll get up, God's better now than He's ever been. And you'll realize it if you'll just get back on your feet again and do what God would have you to do.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I told them the other night, them young ones, they just swing around on their tail. They're just full of joy. That's a picture of joy. But them old ones, they've got so tired from laying around so fat. And God helps, so heavy and burdened down with everything. They can't swing by the tail anymore. When they go try to swing, you know what they do?
Yeah. Amen.
And then when they land, they're just playing possum.
Yeah.
Preached down at Bessemer City Thursday morning. And Brother Buddy Smith had to close it down. He got up there and he said, unto God, how in the world did you fall that? And I give him a mini message of what this possum, about this possum. And he tried to preach on Psalm 40 about waiting on the Lord. I waited patiently on the Lord, you know, and all that. But he talking about that miracle. And every time he tried to talk about something, he started talking about possums again. He couldn't get away from the possums. Well, he got talking about he had a garden. And he lives down on the river, down on the Deep River over there, right off of Brown Street. And he has that garden planted, and he said that everything just kept getting ate up, Brother Ronnie. So he put electric fence that far off the ground and that far apart all the way up. He said, I had deer, and I had rabbit, and I had squirrel. He said, I didn't know what and all I had out there. He said, so something still kept getting underneath there. He said, so I set me a rabbit trap and baited that thing. And he said, lo and behold, I got up there. Had 5,500 volts on that God-blessed wire, and it was still getting a hold of the vegetables. So he knew it had to be something small. He figured it was a groundhog or a rabbit. Well, so he set a rabbit trap and baited that thing. Y'all remember the other night, I know I can't preach it again, but I was talking about the trap. Now, Brother Smith didn't know what he was doing. He just telling a story, but I found a good application right here, and I'll be done with this. When he got out there the next day, he'd lo and behold call him a possum in that trap. And what I said about That flesh, how there's the interest of the flesh, the influence of friends, and then the intention of the foe, which is the devil. And his intention was to tempt you, and his intention was to go for your thoughts and then trap you.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, that's what Brother Buddy had done to the possum. Remember right now, y'all, the possum is the church. Yeah. Don't forget that right now. So the possum has been caught by the adversary in his trap. And that was the end of his story. Other than he said, that thing messed all in my my trap and wouldn't come out. He said, I mean, even inside the trap wouldn't come out. And mess. He said, I had to burn that thing out just to get it cleaned up. Now, he didn't know what he's saying, but I was getting God on it. Let me say what happened here. Now, when the devil tempts us and he pulls us into that trap, he's already baited us. And remember, I told y'all, the devil already knows what bait he needs for you. Everybody's bait's not the same. He already knows your flesh somewhere down the line will let him in on what bait he'll need to catch you next time. So now here he is. He's in the trap. And I want to make a statement now. A possum, I know it looks nasty, and you think it looks like a rodent, but it's not a rodent at all. Again, it's a marsupial. It's a very clean animal. Regardless of what it may or may not eat, it's a clean animal. In fact, even if it's eating trash, it'll take a bite or two, it'll step back and it'll clean itself. Then it'll walk back, it'll eat a little more, and it'll step back and clean itself off again. That's the way a child of God should be. Every time it gets a little bit of filth on it, it'll back up and clean, get it cleaned up again. But now this possum, this church member, had climbed inside the snare of the devil, or inside the trap of the adversary. And inside that trap, he began to mess it up himself. Now, Brother Buddy said when he tried to get that thing out, he opened the door and it should just run out. But it wouldn't come out. He said he had to take and turn it upside down and pound it like that for that thing to come out. Brother Roy, what happened? That thing had got in there and got messed up so bad and got so much mess and so much mud and so much mire on it that it liked it. And even when the door was open for it to come out and it knew it didn't belong in there, and it knew it couldn't survive in there, and it knew there was no more food in there, and it was dirty, and it's supposed to be clean, it still wouldn't come out. Devil had him. Turned him up, he shook him, popped him down. And Brother Buddy said, when that thing hit the ground, Brother Harmon, it hit the ground and did just like you said. And he just laid there a while. Even when the devil's done with you and throws you out of his trap, he's used you up, he's marred you so bad, your testimony's not any good for anybody. Your light's no good. It's inaccurate. It doesn't shine, it's dull. He's done with you now. He throws you out. And at best, all you can do is still lay there. Amen. Can't testify. Right. It's too dirty. Yeah. Can't shout. Can't sing in the choir now. God help, you can't even get up, can you? If you're not careful, you can try to play possum just a little while. When it takes over and it becomes involuntary, it'll be more than you can ever get out of.
Amen. That's right.
And when you want out, even then you can't get out.
Amen. Amen.
When you want up, you can't get up.
Right. Right.
And you want your song back. And you want your shout back. And you want your testimony back. Best you get to go to heaven, being one of the least. Best you get to sit on church pews and just sit there with your arms folded and look at the preacher and say, bless me if you can. No joy. No happiness. Stuck the rest of your life, saved by the good grace of God, alive. Life and life more abundantly. Looking like somebody that's dead. Looking like somebody the devil's used up. Whew. You better hope a Paul comes by.
Amen.
Picks you up. So I know you got dirty. You made provision for the flesh. Stay it too long. But it's high time you wake out of your sleep. Salvation's better than it's ever been. Well, I'm enjoying being saved more tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. In the day that I got in. Boy, and sometimes the good testimony from a brother Paul. Pick up that possum with the dirt. Whew. In the field. And the nastiness that it created in itself. Somehow can admonish it, encourage it, and charge it to wake up. Whew. Jesus coming again is getting real close. Oh, just wanted to tell you, it's going to be all right. Maybe you play impossible tonight. Maybe you know somebody that's playing possum. Whichever it is, either you got to get back and start shining again or help somebody else back to the light. Because if not, they'll lay there and lay there and lay there and lay there. They can't do it on their own. Would to God we ourselves would quit playing possum that we might help somebody else that's in a worse state of involuntary possum than we are. We're comfortable. This fellow's dying. Miss Jeanette, they say it's like they're in shock. Numb. Almost like they don't even know who they are anymore. You don't have to speak to know who don't know who they are. They don't know if they're saved, they don't know if they're lost. Heartbroken. Somebody hurt them, somebody discouraged them. They got afraid of it and they laid down. Guess what? You're not invincible.
Amen.
You can be my possum.
Yes, sir.
You're not super spiritual.
Amen.
You're not above needing somebody to tell you to wake up.
Amen.
My charge to Bible Truth Baptist Church tonight is wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Quit saying, well, they ain't worth it.
Go ahead.
They ain't worth it. I wouldn't give them the time of day. Listen, I ain't talking about going hanging out with them, running around with them, getting mixed up in their mess. I'm not talking about that. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, now I command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after tradition which you receive from us. I'm not talking about hanging around, running out with their way. I'm talking about helping them up and getting them back in the way.
Amen.
Playing possum. Let's stand our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes.